One thing I neglected to say during the announcements, it got awfully chilly there during Bible class. I have no idea why. The thermostat was way lower than where the heat should have come on, and the heat wasn't coming on. So hopefully we got that fixed, and it'll balance out here in a few minutes. But to those of you that I told you what I was going to preach on this morning, I'm not. I called an audible. We'll save that one for sometime when it's not snowing, and we'll do something a little different that I think you'll enjoy, and it probably will be shorter. But about 10 years ago, there was a lectureship in Haleyville, Oklahoma, and just shortly before that lectureship started, one of the speakers became sick and couldn't attend, and I ended up filling in for and doing three lessons for the speaker who couldn't attend, and he had already picked all his topics, they had agreed, and I was supposed to, my first lesson was supposed to be a lesson on evangelism and going out and teaching and preaching and trying to convert people, and I was trying to figure out what I was going to say. And during that time period, I was a little bit slow at work then where I was. It was three jobs ago, and I was sitting in my office one afternoon just doing some work. I had some work to do, and all at once, this man was standing in my door who I knew. He was from the corporate office. He was a senior vice president, and he just stepped in my door and said, "Can you come go to a meeting with me?" And I'm going, "I've never spoken to you before in my entire life personally. If you want me to come, by all means, I will come to a meeting with you." So we went into this conference room, and we got on this call, and there were, I don't know how many people on this call, and they had just completed a design review of a project, and everybody, they were having just huge arguments on this call. The client was asking them to do stuff that was just impossible to do, why no one in the world could do it. It was all impossible. It was, the problem was so big, it was just unsolvable the way they were doing it, and if they would just listen to them, they would just go build it and it would be just fine. And I asked him, we had the phone on mute, I said, do you want me to talk? And he said, "No, I just want you to listen." And anyway, the call ended, and at the end of the call, they all just decided it was impossible and the client was being unreasonable and they didn't know what they were going to do. And we hung up, and he said, "You know how to do that, don't you?" And I said, "Well, yeah." And he said, "Can you take over this project?" And I said, "Just part of this project." And I said, "Well, yeah, if you want me to." And he said, "Can you do it in like 2 weeks? Because we're going to lose this project if we don't get a hold of this." And I said, "Well, yeah, I can do this." I said, "But you're going to have to go buy me this software. I'm going to learn how to use it. Then I'm going to have to analyze this problem. And yeah, I can do it in about 3 weeks." By that time, I was beginning to draw a crowd because I was going, "Well, you just asked, you know." Because my bosses were starting to think I was overpromising myself. But anyway, as we kept going along, it was kind of one of those, in the back of my mind, I was thinking, I've been wanting this particular software for a long time. Here's my chance. I get this software. So we went and we bought the software. I got it downloaded that afternoon, and away we went, you know. And as we went into the project, I went to the meeting, had a very good meeting with the client. It all worked out very well, and my part of that project grew and grew and grew, and I kind of became a project engineer and managed part of the project, and it really kind of ended up in me. Why I ended up leaving that job was my bosses kind of got their, they had kind of, I had got released, and they weren't in control of everything I was doing because the corporate office was inviting me to their projects. But anyway, it was like, hey, guys, if you're willing to spend the money to do this, I can do it. And this VP said, well, I don't think money is a problem. And the reason I thought of this fits the news now that we hear all day. Those of you that were listening to the news, SpaceX launched their Artemis rocket Thursday. They said it was a fabulous test flight. It blew up on landing and exploded. And I thought, well, that doesn't sound very good. But then as I was reading it, I was going, well, that did. It was the biggest rocket ever launched. And I didn't know this, but what this guy was asking me to do was to help design a facility for the Orion space launch vehicle, which at that time the space shuttle was still flying. It was right at the end of its time. They were going to do Orion. And Orion is still there. It is the NASA vehicle. It is still doing some test flights. It's just SpaceX is kind of getting all the press right now. There was another larger rocket, the heavy lift rocket called Altair, which was a rocket that was supposed to land on the moon. And it is all this is still viable. I think they've renamed Orion the Star Cruiser, if you're listening now. But it is actually the NASA rocket. And for those of us, I don't know, probably at least 60% of us here this morning remember Apollo. This is really kind of back to Apollo logic. You know, it's a capsule. Because I was talking to them at NASA, and they were going, well, the wings and everything that it requires to land a space shuttle is just weight. You know, it's just weight. But my portion of that project was to go to the Space Power Facility. It's in Sandusky, Ohio, and redesign that space power facility to test the Orion and Altair spacecraft. And that dome in the center, if you remember the original Avengers movie, they were in this big domed room the first time that Loki made his appearance. It's aluminum, actually. It was shiny metal room. That's that dome in the center of that space facility. It was very interesting to go into. I went into it the first time, and it was like you had stepped back in 30 years in the past, you know, because in the lobby, the phones were all gone, but there was still a big long line of phone booths for that. It hadn't had much done to it. The name Space Power Facility, when NASA was in its infancy, they assumed all power at that time was going to be nuclear, going to space. So that was actually going to be a nuclear reactor where that dome is. And the existing concrete walls in that building are like 6 feet thick. And it's the most interesting project I've ever worked on. But see, if you look in that dome there, this is a cutaway. It's the largest clean room vacuum chamber in the world. And to the right, you can see the little spacecraft sitting on a table. And this is where my part came in. This table was supposed to vibrate in three planes of motion from 0 cycles per second to 150 cycles per second based on the signals to mimic the vibration of a launch. Then the acoustic area over in the right, that's the largest and loudest acoustics chamber in the world. It will go up to 160 decibels, which if you were in there when it went off, it would kill you. But when they were doing their commissioning, they actually crushed some of the air conditioning and heating and ventilation ducts in the building during the test. because of the sound waves and the acoustics. And as I said, this was the door that was open in the Avengers movie was the door to the left. The door to the right, you can see it, and it was closed. So none of the new part was opened up because it was actually during commissioning at the time that movie was filmed. But anyway, it was a very interesting project. But my part of that project when they initially called me was, I need you to learn to be in charge of specification compliance. And I need you to go in front of these NASA committees and convince them that we're complying with their specifications. I need you to learn the requirements for ground-based pressure vessels and pressurized piping. And they said, I need you to learn it to the point that you go in front of these people. You have such a working knowledge of this specification that you defend it, you explain it, you tell people about it without expressing any of your opinions. I said, okay. And they said, furthermore, I need you to go to all of the piping contractors on this project, tell them, be sure they're following this spec, be sure they're complying with this spec, and tell them all of, and help them comply. And once again, not with your opinion. And at the end of the day, the goal is, I want those contractors' work to be approved by NASA. And I was like, okay. And as I said, it was a cool project. It's quite a resume booster. But anyway, as I was pondering this lectureship, and I had this going on at the same time, I thought, you know, there's an analogy here. Because we as Christians need to learn the Bible. And, you know, if I use Ashley Legg's favorite announcement, here's the specifications to get to heaven. And you know, we as Christians need to gain a working knowledge of this scripture if we're going to be able to teach people how to get to heaven. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, we've got to gain a working knowledge of the Scripture. Furthermore, Christ says in Mark 16 and verse 15, I want you to go and I want you to help the lost. Mark chapter 16. And verse 15, you would think I could quote that, and it is not coming to me at all. Mark 16 and verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. See, we need to go. We need to help them comply. And the point is, at the end of the day, we want the person's life that we're talking to be approved of God. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And see, the point that we need to come to is, it really is that simple, God's plan for spreading the gospel. It really is that simple. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not willing that any should perish. The Lord wants everyone to go to heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power unto salvation." See, I said the analogy, that group of people that I was on that original call listening to, they were spending all their time fighting and arguing, going, we should not have to even attempt to comply with what they're saying. But see, on the other hand, complying with that specification was the only way to successfully finish the project. The only way to successfully be pleasing unto God is to recognize this is the power of God to salvation. This is where the rules are revealed, for lack of a better term. Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 through 20. Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the world." See, the implication here is those who are going know what to teach. See, that's the implication here. See, in Acts 5 and verse 28, the apostles are accused of filling Jerusalem with their doctrine. Acts chapter 5 and verse 28, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine." See, the point is, they were teaching the word. Acts 8 and verse 4, those who were scattered after the martyrdom of Stephen, those who were scattered out of Jerusalem, they fled Jerusalem because of the persecution. In Acts 8 and verse 4, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. See, they went out preaching. 1 Corinthians 1:21 that we read a few minutes ago. 1 Corinthians 1:21, "For since in the wisdom of God the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believed." See, it really is that simple. God expects His word to be spread through preaching. Romans 10:17, "Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God." See, they're acted upon by hearing. See, the point is, we need to stir the fire that we have. We need to stir the coals inside of us to go out and spread the gospel. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership." See, he's saying don't neglect the gift. See, the illusion here is a fire. He's saying stir up these embers. See, he's saying stir up the embers that are within you. Get this fire going. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 15. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 15. Verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. "I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap to themselves teachers. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of evangelists. Fulfill your ministry. See what he's saying? I charge you, preach the word. See, he's saying reprove, rebuke, exhort. John 16 and verse 8. John chapter 16 and verse 8. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. See, he will convince sinners of the guilt of sin, is the point. That was Jesus' purpose to come. See, the work, reprove, rebuke, exhort. I mean, two-thirds of that, unfortunately, is negative. You know, you're convicting people of their sin. Acts 20 and verse 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 20. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. See, Paul is saying, I held back nothing. At verses 26 and 27. Verses 26 and 27. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of this man's blood. For I have shunned not to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. See, I declared unto you all the counsel of God. And see, at the time Paul is speaking here in Acts, if you go back to 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5, this is the time it's out of season. They didn't want to hear it. You know, in season is when they want to hear it. Out of season is when they don't want to hear it. And see, he's saying, regardless of whether they wanted to hear it or didn't want to hear it, I taught the whole counsel of God. And see, the message is that needs to be our attitude. Galatians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Galatians chapter 1. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel I preached was that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. It's not according to man. See, what he's saying is, I preach the whole counsel of God, regardless of context, regardless of setting. I made sure that the hearers knew what the whole counsel of God was. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be strong. Be strong. The King James Version uses quit you like men, but the point he's getting at is we would say man up if you're using the King James Version. You know, teach people the gospel. Spread the word. Well, this requires study because all this going and all this teaching and all this, if we're going to do this, we've got to know what the will of the Lord is. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, study. to show thyself approved unto God. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. See the point? He's saying, study 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Be a workman that needs not be ashamed. Be able to handle accurately the Word of God. See, Acts 20 and verse 20, Paul said, I held back nothing. See, the point he's making is, I studied the Word to the point I knew. I knew. I knew what to say when I talked to people. In the book of Hosea 4 and verse 6, Hosea says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. See, the point, if we're going to do this, it's incumbent upon us to study. It's incumbent upon us to know the truth. John 8, verses 31 and 32. John chapter 8, beginning in verse 31. If ye abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, John 17 and verse 17, thy word is truth. John 17 and verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is the truth. See, thy word is the truth. See, this requires us meditate on these things. This requires diligent study on our part. If we're going to engage in this as God expects us to, it requires diligent study on our part. If we look at Philippians 1, in verses 9 and 10, we mentioned this Wednesday night in our Bible class, but in verse 9, here Paul is praying for those in Philippi. He's saying, in this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in all knowledge and all discernment, or all judgment. See, all judgment, that ye may approve the things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. See, the point is, it's something that grows. Our knowledge grows. Our ability to discern right from wrong grows. James 1 and verse 5, Jesus says, if any lack wisdom, let him ask. 1 Kings 5 and verse 12, the Lord gave Solomon wisdom. After he prayed for it, he gave Solomon wisdom and understanding. 1 Kings 4 and verse 29. Colossians chapter 1 and verses 9 and 10. For this reason we also, since the day we have heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that ye may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. See, once again, that's incumbent upon me that I study, that I'm a diligent student of the Word. See, Paul says in Romans 1 and verse 15, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach. He's saying, as much as I can possibly want to, I want to go preach. I want to go teach. I want to go help people become pleasing unto God. In 1 Timothy 4. See, 1 Timothy 4, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. See, isn't that the goal? I want to save myself. I want to save anyone who can hear me. So in conclusion, Matthew 15, 16, 15, and 16. Go, preach. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Romans 10, 17. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. One must hear in order to believe. John 20, verses 30 and 31, the things that were written that you might believe. Acts 15 and verse 17, an unsaved individual can hear and believe. Acts 11 and verse 4, they were saved by the words spoken to them by a man. In Acts 2 and verse 47, Acts 2 verses 37 and 38, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, that's the conclusion. God expects His people to work. He expects His people to spread the gospel. He expects that to be the driving force in their life. As we said, that requires knowledge. It requires effort on our part. We haven't really said anything as far as directly what to do in order to be saved. And it's obvious the vast majority of the people here this morning are Christians already. But if there's anything you need to do, if there's anything we can do to help you in serving God, you know, we would ask you to come forward this morning, make that known. And we will help you in any way that we can. If you're subject to the invitation of the Lord, won't you come as we stand and sing?